Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. This week, we head to Vancouver to assess how one of its central institutional buildings, which is also one of Canada's architecture gems, might offer lessons to city builders across Canada today. Monocle's Thomas Lewis reports.
It's very unusual. You won't see anything else like this in downtown Vancouver, says Frances Bueller, a journalist, over lunch one afternoon in autumn. The site she's referring to, as seen from above, from the windows of a restaurant on Robson Square, downtown Vancouver's central public space, which is framed by skyscrapers and the neoclassical structures of the Vancouver Art Gallery and the storied Fairmount Hotel nearby, is the long expanse of reddening autumn leaves that crown one of the city's architectural marvels, the Supreme Court of British Columbia complex. Designed in 1973 by Arthur Erickson, a seminal figure in 20th century Canadian architecture, the complex was conceived as a horizontal skyscraper, slicing through two city blocks of downtown Vancouver, which is otherwise populated by some of the tallest buildings in the city. Erickson's commission for the complex came as a result of political upheaval in Vancouver. A Conservative government, which had approved a skyscraper for the new Law Courts complex, was ousted decisively in favour of a more liberal city hall, which ditched the initial plans and commissioned Erickson. Erickson envisaged a complex that wouldn't tower above the surrounding cityscape, rather it would weave itself through it. Stretching two city blocks, his designs rise gently up from ground level, with part of the building comprising a bridge of sorts that stretches across one of downtown Vancouver's busiest car routes, the flat concrete ridge of which is crowned by a hanging garden that fringes the roadway below. The building, too, embodies an imaginative interpretation of the relationship between the law and the citizenry who are governed by it. Erickson's vast sloping glass roof means that the stepped atrium inside, each level of which is fringed with greenery, is bathed in natural light, even beneath the heavy overcast skies which are a hallmark of the Vancouver weather. Law Court architecture long articulated tropes of power. Large, imposing buildings intended to subsume those who crossed the threshold to meet their fate within. These halls of the law were intended to intimidate, to articulate the idea of consequence to those called there in built form. But Erickson's idea is different. His designs speak more to an openness and transparency to the legal process, that both those who judge and those who are judged are, in some ways, equal players in the process of justice. It's an idea articulated in the courtrooms themselves, too. The doors to each wood-panelled, red-upholstered courtroom is fronted by a glass door, meaning that the legal proceedings within are visible to those wandering in through the atrium beyond them. But it's atop the building, however, that openness and access are most clearly articulated. Landscaped by the celebrated Canadian landscape architect Cornelia Oberlander, who's now in her 90s and is responsible for some of the most notable works of landscape architecture across the country, the roof is effectively a series of public parks in miniature. A path leads through little wooded coves and more open spaces fringed with shrubbery and places to sit and take pause. It ends up at the mouth of Robson Square, one of Vancouver's most used public squares, which is a venue for music festivals and markets in the summer and an ice rink in the winter. Vancouver has long demonstrated that it's willing to approach the challenges its geography poses in novel and imaginative ways. The SkyTrain, the elevated rail service that wends through the city, was built to free up the land below of essential transport infrastructure, while making the most of the city's most treasured asset, its setting and its scenery. When extensions to the system were completed in 2016, it became the longest fully automated city transport system anywhere in the world. And earlier this year, the city piloted a novel modular housing system dotted at locations across the city as an attempt to shelter its disproportionately large homeless population. Its reception, so far, has largely been positive, leading other West Coast cities like Seattle, for example, to study the project as a possible model for remedying homelessness in their respective cities too. But as Vancouver, which elected a new mayor in October, continues to grapple with issues ranging from soaring house prices and dwindling housing stocks, the notions of public space Arthur Erickson articulated in his law courts complex should offer lessons as the city continues to grow. It just becomes a very pleasant place to be, Beulah says. It has those Jane Jacobs principles. Instead of shutting people out, it's creating multiple pathways for people to wander through. People often sit out here during lunch hour, she says, and eat their lunch. It's become a public park that goes over, around, and through the building. I love it, Beulah concludes. As an institutional complex, Erickson's design for the Supreme Court of British Columbia building embodies a potent notion that institutions and the buildings they're housed in should be within the landscape rather than apart or above it. At a time of immense change in many of Canada's largest cities, including Vancouver and Montreal and Toronto, it's an idea that city builders should revisit now.
Monocle's Bureau Chief in Toronto, Thomas Lewis, reporting from Vancouver for this week's edition of Tall Stories. Remember to tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, city lovers.